comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. It's talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. It's the show where you matter. And it is especially the show where you matter when we do Open Line Live, and that's what we're doing tonight. Open Line Live, I like it because first of all, it gives me the opportunity to share with you some of the emails, some of the things that have come in from all across the world, from folks just like you. It also gives us the opportunity to hear from you and to hear more from you and to hear from more of you. Does that make sense? And so I enjoy it. And you know, Open Line Live is always a little bit like taking a university class. You get exposed to a whole lot of different perspectives. Not everyone sees things exactly the same way, and it is good, it is healthy for us to be exposed to other people's perspectives on things. So Open Line Live gives us that opportunity, and I'm looking forward to that tonight. Let me say this for our listeners in Canada. If you know Julie Skinner, you need to give her a call and tell her to tune into the Kevin Smith Show. She wrote an article that appeared on the internet, and you need to give her a call. She may be listening already, but if you know Julie Skinner, give her a call. She wrote this article, and I thought it was a pretty good article. We're going to talk about it here tonight. Before we open the phone line. So give her a shot at hearing it, okay? Now, if you are not yet subscribed to the K-Files e-zine, the question you gotta ask yourself is, why not? If you're not subscribed to our free weekly newsletter, why? Doesn't cost you anything. And it always has links to interesting videos. It has often links to interesting articles. It has audience feedback and the inside scoop on what's happening here at the Kevin Smith Show. And so it's free, and we send it out each week. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to. It doesn't cost anything to subscribe or unsubscribe. But there is just patently no genius in not getting the K-Files e-zine. There's just no genius in that at all. You don't want to be one of the many mushrooms. You want to be, you know what mushrooms are? Yeah, of course you do. Mushrooms are a fungus that live in the dark and feed on manure. And if you're just getting lamestream media, then you have no choice but to be a mushroom, because they're going to keep you in the dark and they're going to feed you a steady stream of manure. But publications like the K-Files can help you move out of the cave and join the growing ranks of the informed, and we want you to do that. Okay, as I said, Open Line Live tonight, and that means you need to get your fingers ready to do the dialing, because when we open the phone lines, we want to hear from you. We'll be back right after this. All right, welcome back. It is Open Line Live tonight, and we're going to kick this off with an email that we got from one of our listeners. This is from Dale, and she sent it as a suggestion. She says, I laughed when I read this in the Sun Herald newspaper, and then there's a link to the article. And then she says, it has happened. The statement that, quote, the Saints will go to the Super Bowl when hell freezes over, end quote, apparently has happened. Washington, D.C., quote, the government, end quote, has shut down due to inclement weather, i.e. a massive snowstorm blanketing the D.C. area. Since Friday, February the 5th, the government has been shut down. Who dat? who dat indeed. Thanks, Dale. For those of you who are not familiar with who dat, it is a phrase that is chanted by the fans of the New Orleans Saints football team. And the full thing goes, who dat, who dat, who dat say gonna beat them Saints? Ah, Dale. All right. I hope those of you in Canada who know Julie Skinner have called her and told her to tune in, because she posted an article on the internet, and at the end of this article, she's lamenting poor response, I guess you could say, to no response from the Canadian government about something that happened in January over the skies, or in the skies, over Newfoundland. And her closing paragraph and then the closing statement are this. The government's cavalier attitude concerning this incident is both condescending and insulting to our intelligence. The fact that no one has come out to address the matter formally goes to show that it's up to us, the public, to demand answers to the questions they continually attempt to evade. So let's not drop it. Instead of posting a comment on that website, what I did is I decided to make my comment here tonight. Now, in her article, she's talking about an object that was seen flying over Harbor Mill in January, and there is a photograph of this object. Now, I have to say that it has the appearance, to me, of a missile. That's what it looks like. And she says, we knew it wasn't a plane, and it definitely wasn't any kind of UFO thing. But you see, Julie, that's the only part of your article that I would disagree with. It is a UFO until they identify it for you. You don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. It's in the sky. It is unidentified. The mistake a lot of people make is when they hear UFO, they think flying saucer. But see, if you mean flying saucer, you need to say flying saucer, because it is a UFO. It is an unidentified flying object. Well, the folks that, you know, that started commenting on this in newspapers, that started to comment on this event, speculated that perhaps it was a French missile, because the French have two islands that are right off the coast there, within 10 kilometers, I think, right off the coast, and they do sometimes have missile tests. But the French have said, the French embassy there says that although they do participate in routine missile launches, there was no military activity that would coincide with this sighting over Harbor Mill. Well, what about NORAD? NORAD, of course, while located in the United States, is not entirely United States operated. It is operated by I could be wrong about some of this, but there are British military involved in NORAD, and there are Canadian military involved in NORAD, I believe. But and I'm not sure about the Canadians. But the point is, NORAD said, we don't know what it is either. It wasn't anything of ours. And then, according to Julie's article, she says that what's really irritating about this is the blatant disregard our public officials have for the citizens of Newfoundland and Labrador. And that is infuriating, isn't it? It seems to be epidemic around the world that people who are in government positions and get called officials seem to have blatant disregard, really, for the people that put them there. And, you know, it's sort of like, we're the government and you're not. Go away. Well, Julie says, nothing doing. We've got to keep pounding the door and asking the questions. And Julie, my hat is off to you. And I think you're right. I'm not sure that it will do any good, because I'm not really sure that, you know, once people drink from the wisdom barrel of being elected officials, I am really not sure they're normal ever again. In any country. And they seem, when you drink from that wisdom barrel for elected officials, it seems to make you absolutely stone deaf to what the public wants. I know it does here, and I'm just guessing that maybe it does in Canada. But boy, does it ever have that effect here. It's like, you elected me, now get lost, kid. All right, I'm going to throw this. Oh, and by the way, thank you, Julie. Excellent article, and you make some good points. I'm going to throw this onto the table, and then we'll open up the telephone lines. I have heard about this before, and I personally, I don't buy this perspective, but it's an interesting perspective, and it may be correct. What is your blood type? A positive, B positive, A negative, B negative, O positive, O negative. You know, that positive and negative is the Rh factor, and that stands, Rh stands for the rhesus factor. Now, the reason that it's called that is because some people, if you have a positive after your blood type, A, B, or if it's A positive, B positive, or AB positive, or O positive, then there's an antigen in your blood that, if they mix that with the blood of a rhesus monkey, it causes a very quick coagulation of the rhesus blood. If you have negative after your blood type, then there are certain characteristics of that blood. For one thing, it has no reaction with rhesus monkey blood. But there are some other characteristics. Sometimes there's extra vertebrae for a person that has negative rhesus factor. Generally, a higher than average IQ. Sometimes, probably a majority, more sensitive vision and more sensitivity in the other senses as well. A lower body temperature, higher blood pressure, increased occurrence of psychic and intuitive abilities, predominantly, these folks have either blue, green, or hazel eyes. They have red or reddish colored hair. Increased sensitivity to heat and sunlight. And interestingly, you can't clone these folks. And there is a hypothesis that floats around out there that people with Rh negative, and particularly, I believe, AB negative, are aliens. Now, the reason that I don't buy that is because I think 100% of us are alien. Now, I don't, you know, when I say that, there are people, and look, if you're new to this genre or if you're new to this show, sometimes I will say things that may shock you, and I will say things that may even really get under your skin and make you angry, but too bad, it's the truth. Sometimes when I say that I think we're aliens, or if I just use the word alien, people automatically, especially the uninformed, think little green men. Well, little green men are not part of UFO research. They're not part of ufology at all. They are the invention of the media. Just like the term flying saucer was invented by the media, by a newspaper reporter. The term little green men was invented by the media. There is no reason, for instance, when we say UFO, there's no reason to think flying saucer. It just means there's something in the air and we can't identify it. When we say extraterrestrial or alien, there's no reason to think little green men. If you do, that proves that you've been completely mind-controlled by the lamestream media. And this show will help set you free from that. But I'd like to know what you think about this. You may have some thoughts about it. You may think I'm all wet when I say we are all alien. You may think that this hypothesis about the Rh negative blood group being alien, you may think that's right. And I just think it's an interesting concept, and you know, there's a possibility I'm wrong. And I was once. I marked it on the calendar. But but you know, maybe this Rh thing is right. Now, on Open Line Live, I want to hear about this. I want to know what you think about this. But during Open Line Live, you get to, it's BYOT. That means bring your own topic. If you don't really want to discuss the one that I've brought up, bring your own. Call in and we'll talk about the thing that's on your mind, okay, as long as it's within our genre. We're not going to talk about Aunt Susie's best recipe for roast chicken, okay? It's got to be UFOs, extraterrestrials, paranormal, that would be ghosts, EVPs, etc., remote viewing, space exploration, futuristic science, the strange and unexplained. The telephone numbers are 623-444-5889. That's the main number. Or 888-223-4599. 888-223-4599. It's also permissible, you know, if you want to talk about a guest that we've had on. If you want to talk about a topic that we have previously discussed, that's okay too. But the main thing is bring your own topic if you don't want to talk about the Rh negative blood group, all right? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. It's Haya from Victoria, British Columbia.
Hello, Haya.
Hi. Well, you just caught my interest when you said Rh negative. That's what I am.
Are you an alien?
I don't know, but I have always been curious from the time I found out I was an Rh negative.
Mm-hmm.
Because in those days, they give you, you know, when you gave blood, they gave you all the information. Nowadays, they don't give you the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I used to be hauled into hospitals and asked if I would donate my blood on more than one occasion when I've been traveling abroad.
Are you, what are you, A, B, or AB?
A negative.
A negative. Okay.
Yeah. And I have two children, had problems with both of them.
Uh-huh.
Pregnancy was a real toughie.
Mm-hmm. Do you have extra vertebrae?
I never really checked that. I do have a long back.
Mm-hmm. Higher than average IQ?
Yeah, I got 160.
Yeah, see there? This is a pretty accurate list. Yeah, what about your vision and other senses? Are they more sensitive?
Very sensitive to light.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have high blood pressure. I'm in excellent health.
Lower body temperature?
Yes, I do, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And
psychic and intuitive abilities?
I beg your pardon? Yes, I do.
Psychic, okay.
Yes.
What color are your eyes?
They're turquoise.
Well, there you go. It's blue, green, or hazel, so that's close.
Yeah, well, they're mm-hmm. between blue and green anyways. They're a turquoise color.
What color is your hair?
My hair, well, except for it's going silver, my hair was a dark ash brown.
Okay. You know what color mine is? Mine's flesh colored.
Yeah. I noticed on your picture.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You cannot be cloned.
And I know that. And also, which is unusual, I'm of Native American background as well.
Mm-hmm. What about Irish?
Like my mother was Mi'kmaq and my father was Mohawk. And
do you have any Irish blood in you?
I don't know. I really don't know. I'm adopted.
Okay.
And I found out over the past.
We have a break taking over. Will you hang on through the break?
Sure.
All right, you hang on. I've got more questions for you. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Maybe with an alien. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking at the moment with Haya, I hope. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, good. Okay, so you've got all these characteristics, and but you don't know if you have any Irish blood. The reason I ask that is researchers have found paranormal abilities have found that there is a very high percentage of people with Native American and Irish mix who have both psychic abilities and who have had some contact with extraterrestrials.
Well, yeah, well, I've been going down to the ranch at James Gilliland for the past 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And this past year was the first time I had actual contact. So, yeah, it, very strange. It was just incredible. You know, it wasn't, you know, I didn't, it's, it wasn't what I expected either.
Yeah? Well, you know, do you know why I say I think we are all extraterrestrial?
Probably because I don't think any of us came from here originally.
Well, when they did the human genome, the human genome project, they discovered that there are 223 genes in the human genome that, according to them, have no evolutionary predecessors.
Are you talking about what they refer to as junk DNA?
Well, I don't know if they refer to that as junk DNA, but I know there are 223 genes that aren't from here.
Well, you know, that makes sense. You know, I think a lot of this hype about 2012, I personally don't think that there's going to it's the end of the world. Personally, I think it might be, you know, the energies that when we align with certain parts of the universe, I think that it might kick in our genome, and possibly it might accelerate something that we didn't know about.
Well, I've heard that, and I actually heard it from someone. I have to admit, I heard this particular thing. I heard from someone is kind of secondhand. This person was talking with someone in an intelligence organization who said that they are aware that this alignment that will take place in 2012 is going to activate a whole lot of our DNA that is not apparently active now. And they're a little nervous about it. They don't know what that means. They don't know what that's going to do. But then when I heard that from him, he heard it and told me. Okay, so I got it secondhand, and I can't verify it. But let's say that that actually took place, that conversation actually took place. You know, what that means is that person or someone in his organization has access to information above and beyond anything known to science. That means that they are probably in contact with extraterrestrials who told them this.
I would agree with that. I was very fortunate to be able to talk with Andy Bashenko. I think he was from the DARPA program as a child.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you've also interviewed him.
No, I don't have. No. I have no, wanted to, yeah. But I don't have the contact information.
Oh. So I know that a lot of have. Like he's been on Coast to Coast, and
mm-hmm.
he's been on James, and he's been with Brooks Agnew, and.
Well, oh, really? Well, Brooks will have his contact info. I'll get it from him.
Yes, and also Alfred Weber would know him too.
Okay, I know how to get in touch with Alfred
as well. All of them will know him. He right now is in the process of writing a book about what is actually going on. And you know, when you sit around with a person for a number of hours, for a number of days, and you listen to them talk,
mm-hmm.
you do get a good idea if somebody is really telling you a fib or they're actually telling you the truth, because there were so many people there that were shooting questions at him that if it weren't true, he'd be stuttering on most of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he really, you know, when you're right there beside the person, you just sense if they're telling the truth.
Yep, you're right.
You know, you really do. You can, you know, the way they look at you, if, you know, eye contact, body language, and many more. And then, of course, Alfred Weber was there as well, and Brooks Agnew was there, and Michal Ledwith. And so I really got a wonderful introduction to a lot of very interesting people.
And this was at the ranch, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you should go, really. It's just in.
It's a very long walk from here.
Oh, I know, but it's worth it. you know what? It really is worth it. You know.
I don't know if it would be worth me walking there. I don't have a car, you see.
Okay, so maybe take a plane or drive.
It'd
be worth it.
I want to thank you for the call. I do have to move along because I've got another call holding, but thanks so much.
You're welcome, and have a great night.
All right, very interesting. Oh, yeah. Okay. Caller, you... Okay, that one dropped off, and another one jumped on, so we'll do that. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Ryan in Puget Sound.
Hi, Ryan.
How are you doing tonight?
Good.
Did you get my email or my voice message?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, okay. He... there's this one video. Have you seen the UFO video over Turkey?
Well, I've seen several.
Yeah, there's this one video that I found pretty fascinating. And I got to tell you, to go out honest with you, I'm real suspicious at first. And whenever I see a video, especially on YouTube or something, and so I kind of take it with that when I first see it. But this one, when I first started looking at it, I'm pretty sure you know which one I'm talking about. But at first, I thought, well, this couldn't be real because there's no background in it. If people do a search for it, if you go to Google video and do a Turkey UFO 2009, it'll pop it up. But anyway,
well, describe it for me, because like I said, I've seen several from Turkey. Which, describe the one you're talking about.
Okay. There's a guy, and it's right on the ocean. And he's out on the beach with his dog. And he zooms in off on the horizon. You see the horizon. And I guess people have to see it for themselves to see what it's like. But anyways, at first I thought, well, this couldn't be real because it's a black background and it could be easily fake. But halfway through, if you go to halfway through that video, there's a point in there where the dog is barking at it, and it's off over the horizon on the ocean. And there's a point where he zooms his camera in and out, and that would be almost impossible to fake, you know, this video. Anyways.
I'm not sure that I have seen that one. There's one from Turkey that is a really good close-up.
Right,
of
that's
a,
what I'm talking about, yeah.
Okay.
He filmed that again in 2009. He got the same thing. And, you know, if you go to about halfway through that, to about four-minute mark or five-minute mark, there's a point in that video where you can see his dog on the beach, and his dog is barking off in the horizon at this thing. Now, how can you get a dog to do that? And there's nothing out there. It's just ocean. And also, he zooms his camera in real quick and zooms his camera back out and zooms right in on it. And to do that with photo editing would be really hard to do because you're talking about blurring. You're talking about real quick movement of zooming in and zooming out like that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying. I just wondered if you heard it because I was checking it out today and I thought it was pretty fascinating. So I thought I'd ask you if you ever seen that or not.
I have seen the close up. I don't recall seeing one with the dog, but I have seen the one that's, you know, a real good close up shot of a big, big UFO.
Right.
All right, now let me ask you, are you RH positive or negative?
What does that mean?
Your blood type. You're A positive, A negative, B positive, B negative, O positive, O negative. What are you?
I don't have the slightest clue.
Well, you need to find out if you ever really need, a transfusion. Somebody's going to need to know what you got. It's not like gasoline. You can't just drive up and put gas in the car. You got to know which type you are.
Well, my blood is about 75% caffeine and coffee, and the rest of it is water. So.
Yeah, well, you know, I take coffee intravenously. Ryan, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. And do call us again next open line, or, well, no, tomorrow night anyway. It won't be open line, but call us again. Okay, 623-444-5889 or toll-free 888-223-4599. Now, the toll-free number is toll-free in the USA and Canada. If you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada and you want to call me at 623-444-5889, okay? But also, if you're outside the USA and you're outside of Canada and you don't want to make an international long-distance call, you can send me a flash message. But you have to be outside the USA and outside of Canada. Just go to my website, scroll down. You'll see the link that says Flash Message. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin from Beaverton.
Hi, Kevin.
I was wondering if you, I forget if you interviewed someone that had done a documentary on an alien ghost in Roswell for a pilot for a series that never came to be.
No, I don't think I have. If I have, I don't remember it.
Okay.
Do you have that person's name? If you do, email it to me and we'll check it out.
All right, I'll see if I have it.
Okay. Yeah, just email it to me, and I'll see what I can do about getting that person on.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks for the call. 623-444-5889. Or toll-free, 888-223-4599. I have a flash message here from Peter in Columbia. And he says, Kevin, do you ever get messages from Poland, Korea, or the Russian Federation? Being that they are in the top five, one would expect so. Why are they always so silent? Can you tell if those are government computers in those countries or individuals? Perhaps they are just American personnel based overseas. If not, I'd like to see them start reporting what the heck is going on over there. Peter, yes, I can tell sometimes if it's a government computer. If it's here in the United States, I definitely can. And I don't mind. You know, I want all the listeners we can get. So all the government agencies that are tuned in tonight, welcome. We're glad you're here. Poland, South Korea, and the Russian Federation, do I get email from them? I'll answer that when we come back. And caller, are you willing to hang on till we get back?
Sure.
All right, hang in there. We'll be back, folks, right after this. And welcome back. Quick answer, and then we go to the telephone line where our caller has patiently been waiting. The answer, do I ever get email from those countries? Yes, I do. You see 75 countries listed. Those are the top 75 in terms of how much audience we, you know, where is our audience? Largest audience is in the United States, and then those are ranked based on how big the audience is in those countries. And do I get email from them? Yes, I do, but not often. And the reason for that is pretty simple. I speak several languages. I can read those languages. If you hand me the newspaper in one of those languages, I can read it. But for me to sit down and write in that language is very difficult. Very difficult for me to write in, for instance, in Serbian. Ja pričam serbski, sve. If we're just talking, I can speak Serbian. But if I sit down to write it, for some reason, it's very difficult, and it takes me a long time to write even just a few lines. I don't know why that is. But the same thing is true if you are Serbian and you're trying to write in English, or if you're Polish and you're trying to write in English. For most people who perhaps speak English, it's still more difficult to write in that language. Okay, caller, you've been very patient. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Nancy, calling from Austin.
Hello, Nancy from Austin, one of my favorite cities on this planet.
We like it too. I wanted to talk about the AB negative thing.
Okay.
It's so funny when you were going through that list.
Uh-huh.
I'm AB negative.
Uh-huh.
I have, my IQ is 154.
Uh-huh.
I have blue eyes. I was born with red hair that became sandy blonde.
Uh-huh.
I had an extra rib that I had to have removed. And the funniest part is my husband has always joked and told me I was an alien. So you, like, confirmed his worst suspicions.
Well, what do you say? Are you an alien?
No, I'm not an alien. But I have been, I guess would say still am, fairly psychic. So it just the whole thing, it was like, oh, my goodness. And, yeah, it is strange because not too many people really do have AB negative.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you meet someone else who is AB negative, it's like you want to form an instant bonding friendship or something with them.
Well, that may be because of some sort of, you know, like hidden deep in your subconscious memory of what it was like on the other planet.
Well, I don't know about the other planet. Possible. Oh, and then, too, my grandfather was Cherokee, and on the other side, they were Scotch-Irish. So I guess I'm doomed. If I can remember which planet it was, I can at least be waiting there to welcome them when they come back for me, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm part Cherokee. I'm also part Celtic. There's a mixture of different types of Celt, including Irish Celt. But I'm part Celtic and Native American, and I was born with red hair, but I'm A positive.
Ah, you're A positive.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just a lowly earthling.
Well, I tell you what, I did bond with your show instantly, so I guess, you know, there's something to it. We'd have to let you come to our planet just because of the Celtics.
Well, I appreciate it. But see, that's why you live in Austin, too. Austin is full of aliens.
Well, you know, the city motto is Austin Weird.
Keep Austin Weird, yeah.
That's the city motto. Honest to goodness, I think it's a rather odd motto. But if you ever go to 6th Street, you know where it came from.
Well, that's true. I have been there. I have been there.
It's a beautiful place. It is. We love Texas. So, anyway, it was nice talking to you.
And thanks for calling, and thanks for holding on. Now, let me ask you, are you a first-time caller?
Actually, no. I talked to Jerry one time. First time I talked to you.
Oh, well, you didn't get any applause, though, because Jerry, he didn't have the applause queued up.
That's true. I didn't.
Well, here's your applause. And thank you very, very much. Yeah, Austin's a great place. You know, just outside of Austin is Willie Nelson's ranch. And just outside his ranch is his restaurant. And it is good, let me tell you. If you like barbecue, you want to go to Willie Nelson's restaurant there, just not far from the entrance to his ranch. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario. Do I get an applause, too?
If you need one, here you go. I'm going to give you a different one. Why are we applauding?
Well, because when I was a first-time caller in January of 2008, I never got an applause.
You got a cowbell. That's when I was using a cowbell. I still have that cowbell somewhere.
Actually, and I think it was actually Dick Criswell who was actually on the show that time, too, that when I first called in. I think I talked about the Phobos 2 when I first called in.
I have no idea. Yeah. Too much water under the bridge, and too many of my gray cells have died.
Well, I tend to remember useless information like that.
Okay. What's on your mind this evening?
Well, talking about remembering, you know, I one guy that I have not yet been able to have the opportunity of speaking with, but I've read a lot from his name is Graham Hancock. I think he's got a lot of great ideas when it comes to our ancient past.
Yeah.
You know, I think to understand what's happening now, I think you really got to look into the far distant past, and I think Graham Hancock has got a pretty good grasp of what's been going on.
He does, and, you know, I will say this. Anytime you're dealing with any of this ancient information, or if you're dealing with futuristic information that goes far into the future, there is a lot of speculation, and you have to do a lot of theorizing, but he does a good job coming up with the the evidence that seems to point in the direction that he's taking us. I'll tell you somebody else that's very good at that, and that is David Hatcher Childress.
I've never heard of that name yet.
Oh, yeah.
I'll have to look up.
Yeah, David Hatcher Childress.
Well, wait a minute. Yes, I've heard him on Coast to Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I do remember hearing him, but I've never heard of any of his books, though. But yeah, you know, I strongly suggest that a lot of these things that we've been seeing around, like all these megalithic structures, may have been built by us at some remote, distant time in the past. You know, we may have had contact with extraterrestrial intelligences also, but I think a lot of these, many of these accomplishments may have been our own, and that somehow we've forgotten them. And I think one of these remnants, I guess, that survived the last cataclysm may have been blueprints for a piece of technology that was very powerful throughout the biblical times.
What would that technology be?
Well, I think Graham Hancock also wrote a big book about that, and that's called The Ark of the Covenant. And that's an amazing... I'm sure you know what that is, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think it's in Ethiopia, or do you think it's elsewhere now?
I have no idea where it is, but I'll tell you. There is as much information backing the idea that it is here in the United States of America as there is backing the idea that it's in Ethiopia.
Well, it was in Ethiopia, at least in Axum, for a very, very long time. And that, it went from Jerusalem to Lake to Egypt to the Aswan.
Well, that is a speculation.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know that for sure. It is a speculation, but see, there's also evidence that the Knights Templar may have found it, and there's definite evidence that the Knights Templar did come to the Americas very long before Mr. Christopher Columbus did.
Absolutely.
And there is, among that evidence, there is talk of a treasure, there are maps and inscribed directions on, you know, one day's travel north, and you get there and there's something else marked on a stone, and it, you know, 2 days travel west. You want to hang on through the break?
Sure, I'll get into this too.
Okay, we'll be back right after this, and we will be talking with an alien. Kevin from Canada, no question, he's not from this planet. We'll be back right after this.
And Gene Simmons would want to be if he could be a talk host. Here's Kevin.
Yes, indeed, the rock star of talk hosts. Okay, back to our alien who resides in Canada. This is Kevin.
Mm-hmm. And I'm the rock star of calling listeners.
Yeah, well, I guess so. I guess so. All right. Anyway, this, you know, there's... When you talk about where is the Ark of the Covenant, you pretty much can just flip a coin, call it in the air, and any one of those theories, you know, heads is one theory, tails is another, any one of them has evidence that points to their theory. And I think, you know, the fact is, I don't believe anyone knows where for sure. There are people that believe it's one place or another, but I don't think anybody knows for sure.
Well, you did point out about the Templars, and the Templars did go to Ethiopia to hunt down, in hunting down the Ark of the Covenant itself. And whether they found it there or not, there is evidence to suggest that they did. But as far as according to the timeline that Hancock presents in his book, The Sign and the Seal, which is an amazing good read, I recommend it to anybody, is that it went from Jerusalem to Elephantine in Egypt, And then from there, it went to Lake Tana in Ethiopia. And then from there, it went from Lake Tana to Aksum in Ethiopia. And that was, at the latest, it was there when the Templars were there.
Maybe.
We're talking about the 12th century here.
Yeah, maybe.
So, well, he does present very compelling evidence to prove that
He presents compelling evidence that suggests it. But there's no proof.
Well, he does give some proof. But
got photographs?
Actually, they wouldn't let him take photographs of it.
And, okay, what you have the writings of some people that are pretty vague. They talk about carrying a great treasure. There's no proof of it being anywhere. There is evidence to suggest. And is it strong evidence? Is it compelling? It's very interesting and somewhat compelling to suggest, but nobody knows for sure.
Well, you know, murderers have been hanged on even weaker circumstantial evidence, you know.
Yeah, completely innocent people have been hanged on evidence that suggested they did it.
You know, it wouldn't surprise me one bit to find out that the Ark of the Covenant, since the 12th century, has been moved to the United States along with the Masons, which would make perfect sense, since it was the earliest incarnation of the Masons, the Templars, that had built the Temple of St. Mary of Zion in Ethiopia, which allegedly did house the Ark of the Covenant, and which, since it was the highest regarded relic of the Templars, which according to Graham, the Ark and the Grail were interchangeable relics. So the fact that the center of power of the Masons may have come to America, it would only be logical to assume that the Ark went with them.
Well, maybe it did. But, you know, the all of the evidence for all the theories, each of the theories has evidence that suggests that theory. And it's interesting and compelling, but it only suggests. It never actually brings you to the Ark.
Okay, what is your hunch? What your gut feeling? That's why your gut feeling here. Where do you think the Ark is?
Jerusalem.
You think so?
Yeah.
That wouldn't surprise me either.
I think that it has been buried in Jerusalem for these many hundreds of years, thousands of years. I think that it has been found and is being completely kept secret and totally guarded by the Mossad. I talked with a photographer here on the show, a news photographer, who says he has seen it, shot a couple of pictures of it, and they had to be done really quick, and they were blurry, and then he was escorted out. He wasn't supposed to be there. And he says that it is sealed off, and it is guarded by Mossad.
Interesting. I wonder if they'll ever use that thing again, or if it can still be used. Because judging from the information that I've read, that device is what I call it. It's more of a device than anything. It had some sort of electromagnetic and radioactive properties to it.
That's true. A guy touched it, and it killed him.
And yet others would get lesions all over their skins if they got close to it. So obviously it's got radioactive properties, probably from the stones that were put into the Ark, allegedly by Moses.
Maybe.
Who, according to some theories, wrote those tablets on some sort of meteorites, which would have been, may well have been radioactive. And of course, I'm going to get a lot of very religious people likely going to.
Well, the Ark itself, and I'm going to have to move on, but the Ark itself, they tried, I forget who did this, but I remember seeing this years ago, There was someone who took the instructions for building the ark and tried to build an exact replica using the exact materials and dimensions, and it built an electrical charge before they got through. It became too dangerous to continue.
Yikes. Well, you know, I bet you anything that the radioactivity of it, it probably would not have any radioactivity until they put those meteorite stones in there. I think
good theory.
I think the gold itself, which is a conductor, would have held a charge, but the radioactivity of that thing, I think those stones activated something else in that device.
Well, let me tell you, they usually say lesions, that these people got lesions, mm-hmm. but the actual translation is hemorrhoids.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah. And these people were horseback riders, fighters. So this pretty much immobilized their army.
And they didn't have Preparation H, poor fellas.
Yeah, that's true. Kevin, thanks for the call. Got to move along. Interesting conversation. It is BYOT, Bring Your Own Topic, and it is Open Line Live, 623-444-5889, or toll-free, 888-223-4599. Or, if you're outside the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message, and I will read it as I am about to read this one from Bob in Australia. Hi, Kevin. I have two questions. Number one, have you heard from Ed Grimsley lately? Answer number one, yes, I talked to him this week. Question number two, will you be doing a show on Sasquatch anytime soon? I don't know. It depends on whether we can find someone that has some new information. You know, it's the same. We run into the same thing with Sasquatch that we run into with UFOs or with ghosts. It's the same old stuff over and over and over and over. And, you know, we try to bring something new and fresh, and it's a little hard to find sometimes. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kev. My name's Ben. I'm from Illinois.
Hi, Ben.
Hey, you know, that RH factor thing, It's dead on. I'm an O negative.
Oh, I think that's the second rarest, and AB negative is the rarest, I think.
Yeah, I used to give blood every 56 days, and they said that O negative was a universal blood. You could give it to anybody but an AB negative.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, yeah, all that stuff is kind of funny. Anyway, I wanted to tell you, I listen to your show every night. I can't believe the research that you put into this stuff. It's amazing, the topics and the things that you've given me to research on my own. It's just amazing, and I really enjoy it, having Jerry Wills.
He's pretty amazing, isn't he?
He is really great. He really worked hard when you were gone. You know, I know it took a lot for him to put those shows together.
Mm-hmm.
And
let me just say this: you really have no idea how hard he had to work to do that.
No.
You know, you can imagine, but let me tell you, if you're not used to doing this, it will eat your lunch in a hurry.
I can only imagine. I mean, I can't. I know, you know, you guys are just so knowledgeable about so many subjects. It's just amazing. But I was thinking, you know, you had him for a co-host the other night, and that was great.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was thinking it'd be great if you would have him on once in a while, because I know it's too much work for him to do all this stuff for the show, but maybe once a month or something, if you had him for a co-host, that'd be great.
You mean just let him host the show?
No, co-host, you know, with you. You guys play off each other pretty well. You know, you're both, you know, pretty knowledgeable about a lot of things, but he always has some, you know, good things to add to the show, you know.
Well, I'm willing. It would depend on Jerry's schedule. You know, Jerry is
absolutely
excessively busy at this moment, traveling from the Phoenix area to New York. That's what he's doing right now as we speak. And he's very, 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 very busy himself. But if he, if Jerry has the time in his schedule to do this, I'm open to it. He's a fascinating individual all on his own.
Absolutely. Yeah, you got me to go to Expeditions TV and watch all those videos, and he's really got quite a lot going on.
He does. And, you know, we're very fortunate that he is affiliated with the show. And, you know, he is the associate host. So if I have to be away from the microphone, it's Jerry Wills.
And one more thing I want to tell you is that night that you showed that Bigfoot show after the show.
Uh-huh.
That was amazing. From a tracker's point.
Yeah.
You know, the guy that did it was a tracker, and, you know, I've done a lot of hunting and stuff, so I could really identify with the way he tracked that thing, and it was something I've never seen before.
I've seen lots of Bigfoot documentaries. I've never seen that one.
Well, that was just, I thought it was really well done.
Yeah, I thought so. It's an old one, but I had never seen it, and it was a unique perspective from, as you say, the perspective of a tracker. And I thought it was well done, too. And, you know, I kind of keep my eyes open for stuff like that. And when I find something I think is interesting and that our audience would enjoy, I throw it in after the show like that. They're pretty hard to find, but there are a few of them out there.
Well, anyway, thanks a lot for keeping me entertained every night. And I'll let somebody else get in here and do some talking.
All right. Are you a first-time caller?
Yes, sir.
All right. You got to play some applause for him. All right. 623-444-5889 or toll-free 888-223-4599. Or if you're outside the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message. The thing about Sasquatch, I'm fascinated by this. I think that Sasquatch is a reality. Just like UFOs, but there are lots of myths and bogus stuff that have been built up around the topic. But Bigfoot itself, I think there's ample evidence that it does exist. And I think it's a great, great mystery. But it's hard to find new information. And when we find it, we bring it on the air. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, I'm Leah from Tennessee.
Hi, Leah.
I just want to say I really missed you.
You did.
My weather has been so bad, I haven't been able to hear you for a week.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you got part of that same storm that hit Washington, D.C.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How much snow did you get?
Well, the snow was just, didn't collect too bad, but the weather and the gloom and the thick clouds wouldn't let me pick up anything on the net.
I see. Okay. Well, I'm glad you're back.
Oh, it's so depressing. I really felt lost and out of touch.
All right.
And so there's one more thing.
Okay.
There was a caller earlier that was talking about the alien ghost.
Yeah.
That was researched by Jim Mars.
Okay. Well, I have Jim Mars' contact information, and I will get in touch with him about that. Let me make a note here. Jim Mars. Okay. I will get in touch with him about that and see if we can get him on to talk with us about it.
All right, that would be really interesting.
All right, Leah, have you ever called the show before?
Oh, yeah, I'm the one who won the tapestry.
Ah, okay, I know who you are now. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks for the call.
Oh, well, thank you.
All right.
Thanks for being there.
Well, you're certainly welcome, and I am glad to be here, and you stay safe and out of the storm, and stay warm up there. All right, 623-444-5889 or toll-free 888-223-4599. Are you an alien? Well, I contend that you are. I contend that we all are. It's a theory. I can't prove it, but it's what I think based on some stuff out of the Human Genome Project. I think we're all from somewhere else. But what do you think? Are you an alien? Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, good evening. This is Kevin Aki from Northern Alberta calling.
Uh-huh. Well, we have another Kevin from Canada.
Yes.
How are you doing?
I am well.
Good.
I just wanted to correct the last caller. It was actually Dick Criswell that talked about the aliens from Roswell. You have it on your K-Pod. It's number 80502.
Does he talk about a ghost of an alien?
Yes, he does.
He does. All right. Well, you know, this is one I just didn't remember. So, and maybe Jim Mars maybe talks about it, too. So, we may have to get both of them on and find out about that.
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, what's the weather like where you are?
Actually, it's been fairly nice. We've been hovering just above zero recently.
We've been hovering just above 60 Fahrenheit, which would be, 23? I think that's about 23 centigrade.
23 centigrade, so, okay.
Something like that.
That's almost shorts weather.
It's pretty close. It's short sleeve weather for sure.
Yeah, it must be nice to have that climate. Mind you suffer pretty bad in the summer, though.
Well, that's right. In just a few weeks, it's going to begin to warm up, and then when we get into mid-July, August, September, and October, we'll be living on in the northern suburbs of hell.
Yeah, very good.
Hey, man, thanks for the call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. 623-444-5889 or toll-free 888-223-4599. It is BYOT. Bring your own topic. My topic that I brought has to do with this RH factor in our blood and the theory that some people have put forward that if you're RH negative, then you're likely alien. What do you think about that? Or bring your own topic. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Brent from Wyoming. I've actually got two or three things for you.
All right.
I, too, am an O negative. There are two, everyone else in my family except me and my older brother are A negative. My older brother and I are O negative. My IQ is around 131, so it's not that high. I'm not psychic, or I could say I'm about a psychic because it wouldn't post. Low blood temperature, low blood pressure, low pulse rate. Yeah, no extra vertebrae, nothing like that.
What color is your hair?
Brown.
Okay. Are you extra sensitive to light?
My eyes are.
Mm-hmm. And what about your sense of vision? Is it sharp?
Nope. Lousy.
Yeah, something went wrong with you, you know.
Called brain damage. Literally. But anyway, other thing, what have you heard from John Hutchinson at all?
I've tried calling John. You know, John is, he's one of my friends on MySpace. He's also a friend on my Facebook page. And I've sent messages, and I've telephoned, and I can't get in touch with him. So I haven't heard anything.
The other thing I'd like to know is, do you know anybody who knows anything about interdimensional travel?
Well, there are a lot of folks out there that speak as if they know, but when you press them for the evidence, just ask the simple question, okay, how do you know this? It turns out all of them that I have talked to, it turns out that it's something they believe.
I haven't
run across anyone that could say, well, okay, here's how I know. So it's, they're sort of like me. Is interdimensional travel possible? I would have to say, sure. Because I don't think there's anything that is impossible. So it's possible. But then how do you do it? I don't know.
The reason I was wondering is if they want to get rid of the quote-unquote surplus population, find the world and shove them through. Let them build their own government.
You're strange. You know that?
I'm alien.
Thanks for the call, Brent.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah, find a wormhole and put the excess population through it. Oh, my. You see why I like Open Line Live? You never know what's coming. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Donna from Edmonton, Alberta.
Hello, Donna. How are you?
Hi. Good, thanks. Speaking on the subject of Rh negative blood, I'm Rh negative.
Mm-hmm. And can you hang on through this break?
Sure can.
All right, you hang on. We'll be back to you right after this break. We'll be back, folks, right after this, perhaps with an alien. Welcome back, and on the line with me is Donna from Edmonton, and we were just getting started talking about this Rh factor. Are you still there, Donna?
Yes, I am.
Okay. You said you're Rh negative?
Yes, I am.
Okay, this list of things that I read, how many of those apply to you?
Well, I would say that I am psychic, probably not as much as I was at one time. I just haven't been using those abilities. I have a little bit above average, but not a high IQ. I get cold all the time, even in the summer. And one thing that you didn't mention, but I don't know if this has any significance, but I've always had this fascination with reptiles and always felt very comfortable around them. I have no fear of snakes or any kind of lizards or things like that. I've had a few of them for pets over the years.
And see, that's how we know for sure I'm an earthling. Because as far as I'm concerned, there's only one kind of snake, and it's deadly. You know, it has to die, or I have to die, or it has to leave in a hurry. I am absolutely terrified of snakes.
Oh, and they don't bother me at all. I've always been fascinated by them, and I like to handle them.
Ugh. Okay. Well, that's not on my list here, but we can add that in with a question mark.
I've never heard anyone ever write about other people with Rh negative being attracted to reptiles, but I thought I would throw that out there and see if anybody else that might phone in. And
all right, now let me ask you, what color are your eyes?
I have blue eyes.
Blue eyes. Now, is the pupil round or is it straight up and down like?
It is round.
Oh, okay. Just checking. And, just checking.
I did have strawberry blonde hair when I was young.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turned more to like a light brown, but with reddish highlights in it.
When I was born, my hair was red. Mm-hmm. And then it turned blonde, and then it turned flesh-colored. And
you have invisible hair?
Yeah, I have invisible hair. That's true. Have you seen when the credits roll at the end of the show who my hairstylist is?
Yeah, no, I haven't noticed, but...
It's the initials R, period, U, period, kidding. Are you kidding, Salon?
Well, they do a good job. You're a very handsome man.
Oh, well, thank you. You know, we got to do something for that. Let's see. Here we go. Some. Well, I want to thank you for the call. It's very interesting and, of course, always interesting when somebody tells me that I'm very handsome. I have a face made for radio.
Oh, well, you have a face also made for TV.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. All right. Thanks for the call. Oh, well, there you go. You heard it right here first, folks. I'm a handsome guy. All right, 623-444-5889 or toll free 888-223-4599. If you are outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message by going to my website, scroll down, you'll see the link that says flash message, okay? All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin.
Yes.
Hi.
What is your first name and from where are you calling?
John from Vancouver Island.
Okay, John?
Yeah. I just wanted to talk about evolution because you were interviewing Michael Cremo.
Yeah.
And that subject came up.
Yep.
Well, a couple of things I'd like to bring up. And that is, when Darwin was coming up with his theory, Malthus was also very active. And just to... In case the listeners aren't aware, Malthus came up with the idea that resources might increase arithmetically, population increases exponentially, so eventually population will outstrip resources.
Yes.
And so that was floating around, and when Darwin was looking at, you know, the diversity, he was really astounded. But then he latched on to what Malthus was talking about, and that's how he came up with the survival of the fittest idea. But embedded within Darwinism is the idea of useless eaters,
mm-hmm.
which actually comes from Malthus. He's really saying that, you know, if you got too much population and it's inevitable, then you're going to have a pile of useless eaters. So that idea was floating around, and it's embedded within Darwinism. And it always bothered me that you'd have useless eaters and useless deaths not really contributing to the idea of, you know, evolution or moving forward or that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then, so it always bothered me. Like, until I ran into, can't remember his name, the idea that if death isn't going to be useless, it goes into kind of a morphogenic field, and that's actually what I think happens.
Well... based on the email that I got, and every time I bring that subject up, I get the same kinds of email from different people who,
yeah,
they don't hear what I say. They hear what they assume I'm saying, what they think I mean instead of what I say. Now, what I say is Darwin is dead. And what I say is Darwinism is dead. But that's only one theory of evolution. There are other theories. Now, I have not said that evolution is dead as a theory, because evolution is not a theory, it's many theories. There are many, many different theories of evolution. The Darwin model is dead. Because, and we know that now because of genetics, and we know it because there are no trans species fossils, where he has everything that is became what it is from something else behind it. And in other words, evolution's pretty much a straight line. Well, that theory is provably unsupportable. Now, there is another theory.
Not supported by the fossil record.
That's right. There are other theories that get closer to what we observe, in that you have evolution within species lines. Now, that one I don't have a problem with, because I'm bigger than my predecessors in my family. The men in my family were not as big as me, except my dad. Now, my dad was bigger than me, but...
mine was too, but whatever.
My dad's biceps were about the size of my thighs, and that's the truth. His biceps were about the size of my thighs. He was a giant of a man. When he passed away, they almost could not fit him into the coffin. He was just big. But other than him, I'm much bigger, say, than his dad. I'm bigger than my mom's dad. But that's not a real good example. But within species lines, we do evolve. But there's no evidence of a human evolving into something else. And there's
Well, I know that's completely lacking. But mm-hmm. but I just wanted to say this. I studied anthropology and biology when I was at university.
Mm-hmm.
And I to help memorize for exams, I did a map of the dates and extinction periods, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Oldest on top, newest on the bottom. And the impression I got after I did that map was it looked like kind of a harmonic thing. That was the impression I got.
Hmm.
And so I started thinking, you know, if this is harmonics, then a kind of signal-to-noise ratio mathematics might actually be a better mechanism to explain how speciation happens. And sort of what I thought was, well, if the background noise is random mutation, then what you need is a signal at certain times to make the mutations intelligent. Because if you only relied on random mutation, especially during a relatively short period of time, it would never work, because mm-hmm. more things would go wrong than they would go right.
Mm-hmm.
So you need an intelligent signal to create the mutations that are intelligent, that actually create new species.
Well, where do you think that signal comes from?
Well, that's a good question. I was thinking at the time, this is maybe 12 years ago, some kind of information theory might do it. But then, you know, more recently, we're also traveling through the galactic plane, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what I've started to think more recently is, you know, there are times when we're traveling, say, up right parallel to the galactic plane, we're getting a lot of radiation that might just, you know, create more random mutations than usual. Now, if you threw in the idea that maybe we were engineered by ETs, they would, like, I'd be looking at certain times when there'd be high levels of radiation. So, for example, 65 million years ago, when dinosaurs became extinct and mammals gained ascendancy, that would be a very opportune time to take advantage of what was going on galactically and all that kind of thing. So I think it's multiple things happening at once. The position of the planet within the galactic plane, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then also the possibility that perhaps ETs were interested in engineering or tweaking the DNA. Like, the DNA is a crystalline structure, which is like a crystalline radio, like a crystal radio.
Mm-hmm.
So it can receive signals. DNA is like a signal receiver.
I'll tell you something else. The Japanese have discovered, and the Russians have discovered, that DNA is a program. It's a language just like spoken language, and they're trying to decode that. Hang on, and we'll come back to you right after this break. We'll be back, folks, right after this, so don't go away. Always works better when you turn the mic on. All right, we're back, and let's go back to the telephone. That's a very interesting theory about the DNA. It is a receiver, and another thing about it, it is a language, and another thing about it, there have been some tests done where you can take a person's DNA and transport it 5,000 miles away, take a cell, transport it 5,000 miles away, and using very, very sensitive scientific equipment, you can run this test, and you use an atomic clock, and you show the person a picture. He's 5,000 miles separated from this cell that they took from him. You show him a picture of something really, really bad, like a massacre. And he will have an emotional reaction to it, and at exactly the same instant his DNA reacts, 5,000 miles away.
Oh, yeah, that's fascinating.
Yeah, and or you can show him a picture of something really pleasant, and he'll have an emotional reaction, and 5,000 miles away his DNA reacts. Those experiments have been done. And so DNA is an interesting thing, and as we pass through that galactic plane, there are people that think we're going to get switched on.
Yeah. Well, all I was trying to say was when I looked at the map that I made,
mm-hmm.
Random mutation was not adequate to explain the intelligent emergence of new species over a relatively short period of time. Darwinism does not explain that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas at the time I thought information theory might contribute to that idea. And so you've got signal to noise, noise being random mutation.
Mm-hmm.
And so where does the signal come from? And I'm thinking, it could be the movement through space. It could be magnetic, electromagnetic signals, frequencies. Timed with the way we move through the galaxy.
That is very, very interesting. Have you ever read A.E. Wilder Smith's book called Man's Origin, Man's Destiny?
Haven't read that one.
He's a scientist, and he was at Edinburgh University. Boy, it's a great book. You ought to read it. Hey, it's John, right?
Yeah.
John, I want to thank you for the call.
Just the final thing to reaffirm it is, if it's true that we're partially engineered, then it wouldn't happen except at certain times, certain very opportune times. Linking up with the movement through space, linking up with perhaps harmonic and information theory patterns, that kind of thing. So there'd be only certain windows of opportunity where if you were an alien species, you would pick certain windows. And you could trace it back through the record, the fossil record. Like, for example, 65 million years ago would be a very significant time. And if I was looking for, footprints or remnants of something, I would really be looking at that KT boundary, because that would be a very hot time where a bunch of things were happening at once. And if I was an alien at that time, that's when I'd be really looking at doing some engineering. So it's only certain times that I think, if that were true, that they would be operating.
All right.
And so there'd be certain patterns. Wouldn't be all the time, just certain times.
Okay. Like I say, very interesting theory, and there may be something to that. John, thank you for the call. Fascinating, huh? I told you it's kind of like going to university class when we do Open Line Live. All right, a flash message from Blue in Australia. Good day, Kevin. Two questions here. When are you going to do another show on USOs around South America? That would be unidentified submerged objects. I don't know. When there's more new evidence, perhaps. When there's new evidence, I will. Second question, when are you going to have Professor Farrell, Mr. Hoagland, and Clay and Sean Pickering on again? Soon. Some of those very soon. And there's a third question. In addition, calling all non-members to join, it costs a cup of coffee, and you'll learn something new. Thank you. I appreciate it. Okay, to the phone, and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. It's Mike from Kentucky.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, busy show tonight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, me too. This is great.
Yep.
I'm an AB positive myself, and I'm the only AB positive I know that's a negative, so there you are.
I don't understand. You're an AB positive that's a negative?
Yeah, my attitude is totally negative.
Well, you can adjust your attitude, you know. No need to be negative.
I was blonde hair, blue eyes, temperature runs below normal, but 97.6 is what my temperature normally runs, and I'm not afraid of snakes either. My wife is terrified of them.
So maybe the thing about snakes isn't related to positive or negative, but is related to being AB.
It could be. I really don't know. But I know that even just a little toy rubber snake, she just goes into hysterics.
That's the way my mom is. I used to bring toy snakes in and just scare the daylights out of her, and sometimes I'd catch a grass snake and bring it in. It would be in a jar, you know. I'd just set it on the counter and then walk off and leave it. In a few minutes, I'd hear a scream from the kitchen. And then I would get a whipping.
Yeah, I started to say you didn't want to be anywhere around when she found it.
Oh, mercy. Mike, I got to run. We're chasing the end of the show here.
Talk to you later, Kevin.
All right, thanks for the call. And by the way, thanks to all of you who have written wanting to know about how is my mom. As you know, during Christmas, I went over to visit with my mom and my older kids at Christmas. and she was ill. We had to put her in the hospital. Well, she's doing very well now, and thank you much. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Me?
That's right.
Hi, Kevin. This is Tony in Norman.
Okay, Tony, you'll have to make it quick because the end of the show is on us.
Okay. Kevin, great to talk to you again. And that guy was right. It was Dick Criswell who was talking about the ghosts.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure that Jim Mars spoke about it first. I'm not going to swear to that, but I think I heard Jim Mars talking about it on Coast, I believe.
Okay.
Saying that there was nurses in that hospital who said that they see alien ghosts walking down the hall and things like that.
Okay. I'll check it out. I'll check with both of those guys. Tony, I appreciate the call. I have to run because the end of the show is here. And thanks so much for calling. All right, folks, let me remind our members that on Saturday we have a video chat in the members area. It starts at 9 o'clock in the morning Pacific time, so do the time conversion for your time zone, okay? Aaron McCollum is going to be with us. There were a lot of questions you had that we just didn't have time to get to, and you'll get a chance on Saturday. All right, that's a wrap for this evening. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. And you can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.